I remember my mom hating the fact that I had a David Lee Roth poster on my wall when I was
Was he in
13.
tights?
Now he's coming out of a pool. Like,
oh my God, that's basically a pinup. I say, Katie, I say.
He was on the wall. My mother would walk by and go, oh, he's too
Why?
old.
He's too old.
He's too old. It was like 30.
He's younger than her.
I know.
Well, she should be looking at it too.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
We got a couple of things happening. We got the Ides of March, St. Patrick's Day, and the first day of spring.
Is anybody doing anything besides us for the Ides of March? I love the Ides of March.
Are we on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I like to go around and tell people, like, beware the Ides of March. But I don't really know how to get down and celebrate and rock out the Ides. Do you have any suggestions?
I do have suggestions here, because the Ides of March, basically, everybody knows the saying, the soothsayer from Shakespeare's... Julius Caesar says, beware the Ides of March, which is March 15th.
Yeah.
And trying to tell him, watch out, because you're going to get killed.
And he's like, who, what? He's like, yo, I said. I think we did a nice recreation of this in an earlier episode. I will link that to this if you want to hear our dramatic reading of Shakespeare's seminal Julius Caesar.
Exclusively here on Hey You
Know.
Yeah,
here on Hey You Know.
Yeah. But back in the day, in 1599, when Julius Caesar was performed, it was like a kind of a big deal with the audience because there was the difference between the two different calendars, the Julian and the Gregorian calendar.
Was there beef?
Well, yeah, there
was kind of... Ides of March is BS. This is March 11th.
Yeah, the days were off, so they're like, when is this day going to be? Because they have two different calendars.
When's the show?
But not only that, in Roman times... The Ides of March was most notable as a deadline for settling debts.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Beware, you better give me my five note back.
Yeah. So it was the time, if you owed anybody anything, you better pay up.
Wow, I like that. The Ides of March.
Yeah. So I think now we should make it into a new holiday where you have to not only settle financial debts, but any debt you owe anybody else.
So any beef you have to squash it on the Ides of March.
Right, right. Okay. If someone did you a favor, you go back and do something for them to pay you back.
Okay. What if somebody did you a disservice? Do you return that with another disservice?
Whatever a debt is, I owe you this punch in the face.
Yes. It's a Luca Brasi.
That's right.
Day.
Just like in The Godfather when Luca Brasi went to Don Corleone on the day of your daughter's wedding.
Also known as the Ides of March.
Right, because you can ask the Don for a favor free of charge.
On that day.
On the day of his daughter's wedding. You're allowed to do that. So he has to sit in his office.
And wait for people to come by.
Ask for a favor.
And ask for favors.
And then he's like, all right.
So all right. So you're proposing, and I like it, I just want to be clear, that the Ides of March is a day in which you can pay back what you owe.
Yes.
But also it's a day for squash and beef.
Yes.
If you have beef with someone, you need to settle it.
Right.
One way or another.
Right.
Although the precedent is kind of, unpopular, but I like it. Ides of March.
Yeah.
Cool.
And it's another thing. This was something that I found where there's a man who had an overdue account. He had a payment of $233.95 due. Mm-hmm. And so he said, I don't have it. Please accept this drawing of a spider.
Really? I'd like to. I'm going to go to the IRS like that. I don't have the tax money I owe you for this year, but... Please accept this lovely still life.
Yes, he said, I do not have any money, so I'm sending you the drawing I did of a spider instead. I value the drawing at $233.95, so I trust this settles the matter.
I'm looking at the picture of the spider. I'm giving it, it's worth about $4, maybe
$5.
It's not very detailed. The spider has a smile, which we know spiders cannot do.
Yes, and so they write back, thank you for contacting us. Unfortunately, we are unable to accept drawings as payment.
We don't work in the system.
And your account remains in arrears. Please contact us within 7 days to confirm payment that it has been applied to your account.
Well, they saw it. They at least looked at the drawing, but they determined that. So they're saying that not that it's worthless, but they don't work like that.
Yeah.
And, you can't just send a sketch.
Yeah. And he said, well, can I have the drawing of my spider back, please?
Well, did they get it back?
And she said, you emailed the drawing to me. Do you want me to email it back to you?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Yes, he says. Was he like, this is not the original?
Exactly. He said, are you sure that the drawing of the spider is the one I sent you? The spider only has 7 legs, and I do not feel I would have made such an elementary mistake when I drew it.
So now they owe him for damages of the lost leg, the adultered.
She says, yes, it's the same drawing. I copied and pasted it from the email you sent me on the 8th. David, your account is still overdue.
She threw in his name at this point. Look, son, I don't mean to get rude.
By the amount of $233.95, please make the payment as soon as possible.
Couldn't they knock off something for the spider drawing? I mean, it's not great, but surely they could round down.
He said, thank you for contacting me. I am currently away on leave, traveling through time, and will be returning last week.
I like it. With the spider leg.
Yeah. And he writes, hello, I'm back, and I've read through your emails. And I accept that despite the missing leg, that drawing of a spider may indeed be the one I sent you.
The error is my own. I apologize.
I realized with hindsight that this is possible. You rejected the drawing of the spider due to his obvious limb omission. But I did not point it out in an effort to avoid hurting my feelings. As such, I'm sending you a revised drawing of the correct with the correct number of legs.
Is it not open to interpretation, this spider drawing? No. I mean, maybe he's trying to make a statement with the 7 legs.
Yeah. As I have stated, we do not accept drawings.
Yeah. Bitch, I said, we don't work in that system.
He said, I understand. I will definitely make a payment this week if I remember.
I like this. He's like a dadaist payment system.
As you have not accepted my second drawing as payment, please return the drawing to me as soon as possible. It's all in an email.
I love it. This poor woman. Oh, God. Work is so useless. Like this, she's actually doing this at her desk going back. Like this is like on her list of things to do. Like she's trying to collect payment from people, and then she's got this guy
doing this
sending it an image. He's like, he's asking me to return an email.
Yeah. So really, don't do that to customer service. Pay your debts. Yes. Pay your real debts with real money.
Or send in a real picture.
Yeah.
Or something that's anatomically correct.
Yeah.
That's what I would have said. I would be like, sir, we would love to accept this. However, this is not actually a spider, as you can see.
Yeah.
One leg is missing.
It has a big smile.
And it has a big smile, which we know spiders don't have. Yeah. So this episode, we're covering Ides of March. We're covering St. Patrick's Day. We're doing spring in general.
Yeah, the first day of spring is upon us. It's all happening in 1 week. It's a crazy week. All this stuff.
What are people going to do?
I don't know. You can pick or choose. You can do all three.
Do you think the weather is going to be cooperative, or it's just going to be crazy town weather like it's been all year?
I believe it's going to be cold one day, hot the next.
I experienced three different seasons the other day, I feel like. I feel like it was like early spring, and then it was fall, and then by nighttime it was winter again.
Yeah.
I've had it.
Yes.
Like, I don't know how to dress. I feel like I'm in Seattle.
Nobody knows.
So I have some, for St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, okay.
I had some adult limericks.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you remember limericks when you were a kid? There's always, you know, a lady from Nantucket, and then you never figured out what the rest of it was.
Right.
It was too dirty.
And then once you figured out the rhythm of the limerick and what you were supposed to do, you started writing your own.
Yes.
But you're in fifth grade.
And they were terrible.
Yeah.
I was always trying to get some, like, I was from a town called Wharton. Like, there once was a lady from Wharton. No, there wasn't. Because that doesn't rhyme with anything. No one rhymes with, nothing rhymes with Wharton. So I found a couple of adult limericks, they're called. We should just call them dirty.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're adult. You know, not safe for work. There once was a man from Bel Air who was doing his wife on the stair.
Okay.
But the banister broke, so he doubled his stroke and finished her off in midair.
Oh, I'm like,
I'll just read a couple. There once was a young man from Kent.
Okay.
Whose rod was so long it bent.
Oh.
So to save himself trouble, he bent it in double. And instead of coming, he went.
Oh, jeez.
And I'll give you one.
Oh, please.
One last one.
This piece of gold?
Yes. Okay. There was a young lady named Claire.
Sure.
Who possessed a magnificent pair. Or that's what I thought, till I saw one get caught on a thorn and began to lose air.
A thorn?
Yes.
What was she doing?
It was a fake boob. I don't know what she was doing. Not protecting her assets. What do you have?
Well, it's leprechauns.
Okay. Leprechauns.
What's...
You know.
What's St.
Patrick's
Day? Talk
amongst yourselves.
What's St. Patrick's Day without a leprechaun? So a leprechaun, they say in most cultures, fairies are sweet, good, beautiful creatures who grant unselfish wishes and cast spells to bring goodness and defeat badness. That's what a fairy is. But...
Isn't the fairy also attractive?
Yes.
Okay.
But these are actual... Leprechauns are actually fairies.
I didn't know that. They're part of the fairy folk.
They're really unattractive. They're quick to anger.
Mm-hmm.
They drown humans, steal babies, and eat them.
Really?
They spit on fruit.
Excuse me?
And turn milk sour. They play rotten tick.
Where do they spit on the fruit? Like, on my plate? Or what's going on? Like, at the salad bar?
And I'm thinking on the vine.
That's not like so bad. You're going to wash it off anyway, though, right?
Yeah, I know. Okay. So, uh-huh.
Good luck.
So, at one time, the word fairy was feared. And in case...
Just the mention of it.
Yeah, like, oh.
Just even... And people ran.
In case it was overheard by one of the creatures and caused offense,
Who are you calling a fairy? Why is it got to be about fairies? Oh, we all fairies now?
So, instead, a raft of alternative and more complimentary names were used, such as the little people, the good people, or the gentry.
Instead of using the F word.
Yeah.
The little people?
The little people, the good people.
And the gentry?
And the gentry.
In my mind, gentry is people who own land, no?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So you're just elevating their status by saying that they own property.
Right. Fine. Among the most scary of the Irish fairies are the Sherry, who caused...
The Sherry fairies? Don't say that in front of them.
They cause madness and confusion in humans.
And they must be everywhere right now. They must be in the Republican Party.
Oh, God. All over the Republican
Party. They're so in confusion.
And remember, we've talked about the headless dull hand who rides a horse and shouts the name of a mortal who will die. We talked about that years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So, compared with some of the other people of the other world, the evil leprechaun is actually kind of meek, but he will play jokes on you. And
so generally they hide, but if you drop an F-bomb, they'll come out fighting.
Yeah, but they may ignore you, but at this point...
How? Really? I just want to see a fairy just slowly turn his back to me when I'm in there. I'm like, really?
But they also, if they feel like it, they can be friendly if they want. And they may tell you a joke or offer some top-rate advice about the state of your shoes.
Really? Some top-rate advice.
Those shoes are on point.
Yes.
Gotta tell you. Some things you didn't know about them. There are no female leprechauns. This is a point of controversy because I also read that there are some. They're very unattractive.
Okay.
And
so...
to call a leprechaun a lady is an exaggeration.
Okay.
Like, that's no lady.
That's no lady. That's a leprechaun. Yeah. Sir, I've been called many things. So it's kind of like dwarves. You can't tell the difference between the female dwarves and male dwarves unless you're a dwarf, basically.
Right. The last leprechaun sighting was in 1989.
Really?
Yeah, a pub owner, P.J. O'Hare, claimed to have seen one in the Irish town of Carlingford. According to the legend, he was selling some land when he heard a scream in a nearby well. He found a leprechaun's clothes and the bony remains of the creature and put them on display in his pub.
Wait a minute. How long did it take him to get there? Like, really?
He's an Irish guy who owns a pub. What do you think he had to do in the meantime?
An epic journey. By the time he got there, the thing had not only died, but it had, you know, disintegrated, and only the bones were left?
Yeah.
Okay. Comes at you fast.
The event became so famous that it inspired an annual leprechaun hunt in the town.
Of course.
And so people
tourism.
They hid fake plastic leprechauns around and had to go find them.
Why didn't they hide little tiny skull and bone sets around? That's what I would have done.
No.
I found a clavicle. Nah, that's not it.
Portland has the only dedicated leprechaun colony in the U.S.
It's just people who moved there from Brooklyn. Don't be fooled. They've got beards.
It's a small
patch. They're small and feisty.
A small patch of carefully landscaped land sits in the middle of a road in Portland, Oregon.
And they have a lot of extra space, huh?
Yeah, in the middle of a road.
Yes.
And it's not just roadside greenery to perk up the neighborhood street. It's actually a park dedicated to leprechauns. Local legend says the reporter wrote a series of columns about the country's only leprechaun colony in 1947.
Okay.
The reporter, Dick Fagan, spotted one of the leprechauns digging a hole in the spot outside the window and captured it.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
You see something different.
You see somebody at work minding their own business. You sneak up on them, you steal them, take them home.
Put them in a bag.
Yeah, perfectly American.
He used his wish to get a park of his own, but the leprechaun tricked him and gave him the hole in the ground instead.
Oh, really?
The 2-foot-long patch of ground became an official city park in 1976 and serves as the epicenter of the town's St. Patrick's Day festivities.
It's only 2 feet by 2 feet? Is this what you're saying?
Yeah.
How small is this fucking town?
And if you have a leprechaun, you get a wish. You're going to be like, I want my own park.
Cool. That's what I want. I want green open spaces. That's what I want with my wish. Not $1 million. Not a huge Johnson. Not revenge. Yeah, right. Not to live forever, but a small park, a municipal park that you could advocate for, you know, through government channels.
Leprechauns are a protected species under European law.
Great. Well, you know what we think about that.
Yeah, they're protected from destruction. Let's see.
How can you deprive a man of his right to hunt a leprechaun? It's damn right un-American. Here, we're free to, like...
It says there's a trail, there's an area where leprechauns are protected. You can't hunt leprechauns there. And it
what
says,
if they step outside of it? Can I pop them off there?
Sure.
Yeah.
The trail even has a sign with a picturesque mountain landscape asking hikers to tread lightly in the heavily leprechaun-ized area. And a warning to those in search of gold. According to the sign, hunters and fortune seekers will be prosecuted.
Wow. By whom? In the court of leprechaun?
Yeah.
In the fairy court?
Yeah.
Something tells me it's a little more harsh, yeah, their laws than our own. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So since we're talking about St. Patrick's Day and the Irish, I always want to do a little Irish penis news.
All right.
Yeah. Oh,
do you really?
Yes, I do. Penis news, my favorite segment where I talk about dicks in the news, dick updates, scrotum stories, the member on the move. And I'm keeping it real today. And the Irish curse is what we're talking about today. I didn't know about this.
I
grew up around a lot of Irish people, but I never heard about the Irish curse. And if I were Irish, I wouldn't be telling people about it, especially if I were a dude.
I had an Irish boyfriend.
I was like, is the curse real?
Curse is real.
It says here, research claims the Irish curse is real. According to the findings of a Belfast-based professor, the Irish curse could be true. It says here that Irish men have smaller penises than their U.S. and European counterparts. That's hard because a lot of people in the U.S., I think, are Irish, but whatever.
Yeah.
Claims the research published in the scientific journal Personality and Individual Differences. That sounds like a fun one.
Yeah.
I can't wait to rip into that one. The study revealed that the average British penis, when erect, is 5.5 inches, while those of the French were 5.3, and then going down to the Australians at 5.2. British men also beat out Australians, American, the Irish. The Irish are at a 5 inches.
Oh.
5 inches. So I was like, okay, that doesn't sound, this is when erect. So they surveyed penises in 113 nations. What a job. I feel like some nations were probably like, whatever. Others were like, send out your biggest.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to be undone.
Yeah.
Send out your behemoths. The largest penises come out of Africa, out of the Congo.
Okay.
At 7.1 inches.
Well, all right. Way to go.
Way to go, right? Congo. Yeah. All the way. Then Ecuador is next. Then Ghana. Then Colombia. Then Iceland is 6.5.
Iceland? Really?
Yeah, weird, right? So this really is not weird. I don't know how they figure this one out. I don't know why Iceland is up there.
Oh, by the way, when I say the Irish curse is true, I mean, like, my boyfriend talked about it all the time.
Oh, okay. He was complaining about it.
He always was saying, no, the Irish curse. And I'm just like, you know, you got to stop it.
You're like, dude, I'm here.
Like, nobody knew about this.
Until he started talking about it.
Yeah, so
just don't say anything about it. Yeah. So then there's Greece at 5.8 inches. Now we go down through a bunch of European nations. Russia at 5.2, U.S. at 5.1, Ireland at 5. And then we go down to South and North Korea at 3.8.
Oh.
I know.
Boy.
I know. So I'll just leave it at that. Hashtag penis news.
So when the people Irish ask curse. You on St. Patrick's Day if you have a little Irish in you, they mean a little Irish.
That's all
in
I
you.
Can get.
Yeah.
I just think, I thought the Irish curse was like, you know, talking about how if a guy drinks too much and then can't get it up, but it actually is about having a small penis. And was this boyfriend complaining about it like ad nauseum, you know?
He bring it up more than he should have. But I always thought that it was just the gift of gab. Like he kissed the Blarney Stone. Mm-hmm. You kiss the Blarney Stone, then you're talking.
But you shouldn't be talking about how you have a small penis. Like, that's not going to help anybody.
Oh, you just
especially
talked about
you
it in general. It was like,
but not me.
Irish, yeah, you know.
Interesting.
And I'm just like, I'm tired of the story. I'm tired of the idea of it.
Well, first of all, it's a short story. You know, your little tale has not begun me with anything.
You're just talking about it.
Yeah. I'm sure that, like, you know, in the Congo, I'm sure they went around and were like, we're only sending out heavy hitters. We're a small country. Yeah, no one's talking about us. Like, let's be in the news, boys. And I'm sure regular sized dudes who came out who had, like, you know, 6.5 inches, they were like, nope, sorry.
Yeah,
send them back.
Yeah, do us proud.
Yeah. I feel like in the Congo, they were like, anyone who's over 6'6" can come to this. And that's it. Like, that's it. What a job.
Yeah.
They went around to 113 nations, fluffed guys, and then measured them. Amazing. What a journal. All right, what do you have?
Well, we're also talking about spring here.
Some of us are.
I'm just
talking about the Irish.
Okay, we could still talk about
that.
No,
that's not.
I also want to talk about the spring. The first day of spring is happening. So there's some advice here on a couple, or suggestions rather, for fun and frugal spring family activities.
I thought the recession was over.
Oh, they say in a few short days, spring will be upon us.
I love that term.
So you've been inside your house because of this winter we're having, and you want to
this weather,
and you want to consider some outdoor activities that weren't possible during the cold months.
Okay, yeah, how cold is it? This is what people don't seem to understand. Like in Northern Europe, they go outside no matter what.
Yeah,
no matter what, even 4 feet of snow, they go out. They'd never go out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get this.
Yeah,
like,
don't
no.
let the weather chase you.
No,
I think only the strong people come out in the cold.
Yes, I agree. Suit up, get out there.
So many activities can be frugal while also creating memories and traditions for years to come
for your
family. So to create memories with your family that they can't forget, here's the suggestions.
Okay.
Number one, visit the farmer's market.
Huh?
It's run an errand.
Yes, that's not memorable. Like you're from the suburbs, I'm from the country. We live in cities now. There's fucking farmer's markets everywhere. That's not memorable.
Yeah.
There's like four in my neighborhood on a Saturday. It's just like going to supermarket.
Yeah. That's it. It's running an errand.
Yeah. So, gotta go get some Brussels sprouts. You'll never forget this. This is amazing.
Did you see that? Remember that turnip?
Yeah.
Mother bought.
That farmer's cheese off the hizook.
I'll never forget it.
Write it down. It's going
it
in the scrapbook.
It was spring of 2016.
Yes. When I saw a cheese that just blew my mind.
Yeah.
That cider. Anyway, so visit a market. Well, what happens when you get there? They're going to want stuff. That's not frugal. The activity is shopping.
Yeah. Here's another thing. Go to a nearby park.
Mind blowing.
Yeah.
How are you going to not forget that?
If your children love animals, consider adding a twist by visiting a local dog park or volunteering at an animal shelter.
So you're going to go mess with someone else's dogs.
Yeah.
Generally, that's not a good idea.
If your kids don't have dogs,
yes.
They don't know how to handle dogs.
Don't
keep them away from my dog.
Don't release them onto other people's dogs at a dog park. No.
You know, because they pull ears and tails.
Yeah. It's just weird. When we had a dog, we used to take our dogs to the dog park. And there were always some people around that didn't have dogs. And it's kind of like when people are around a playground and don't have children.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like a good thing. What are you doing? Just eyeballing my puppy? Like, back at your own. Or don't.
Yeah.
Or get away from here.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
Right. But it's with the warmer weather, now is a great time to enjoy a local park for several hours for free. Fun and active adventure.
Are they expensive at some other time of the year?
No. He's just an idiot. Writing this article. Yes. I mean, I'm so angry.
He couldn't come up with anything.
Couldn't come up with anything and was trying to spin something that we all know into something new and fresh.
Go for a walk. Enjoy cable. You're already paying for it.
Yeah.
They'll never forget it. Show them The Shining. They'll never forget that.
Go from your living room into the bedroom.
Yes.
That's
wow.
One.
Et voila.
And a change of scenery right there for you.
Change of scenery. Have a picnic on the floor. All right. What else did he come up with? Anything?
Geocaching. Do you know what geocaching is?
Yeah, geocaching is when you hide something somewhere and then you go and try to discover where it is later, like using maps. That's what I understand it to be.
Right.
It was something that was popular, like, I think in the 90s they tried to make it popular when we were in college and we were like, go fuck yourself.
It's stupid.
It's a part of, I think, orienteering, which is an interesting skill that a lot of people don't have. But, yeah, geocaching. Okay, so what do they say?
You can get an app, actually. It's basically...
Oh, it's app-based now. Okay.
Yeah, they have it now. They have an app which costs $10. Late. It's not required, though.
Is this supposed to be frugal? I'm already out of 10 spot.
Yeah.
I haven't done shit.
So participants use a GPS receiver or mobile device, and they can... use navigational techniques to hide and seek containers called geocaches. anywhere in the world. And they're small waterproof containers with a logbook, with a pen and pencil. Mm-hmm. So when you find it, you're like, yeah.
I found it. And then you put it back where it is.
And you put it back exactly where it was.
Okay.
So the next person can find it.
I'm going to do one with nips. I'm going to hide, like, nips of, like, Johnny Walker around and geocache that. That's actually kind of fun.
Yeah,
that'll be my app. Johnny Walker, if you're listening, you should do that.
And number four, he only came up with four things.
That's it?
I think he had, like, a 300-word
Yeah, he's frugal.
Thing to hit. Start a garden.
Where?
It's a fun and frugal activity. Enjoy the spring. Start a garden with your family.
Just do it in someone else's yard if you don't have your own. If you like to come home and be like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
Starting a garden.
And the benefits are including teaching your children where food comes from and spending time together outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
And your kids get to play in the dirt.
Well, that's a good thing. I find that a lot of kids don't get to do that. Although, when we were growing up, and you too, I can tell from your stories, we didn't want adults around when we were playing in the woods or outside. Yeah. Did you?
No,
we wanted to run in a pack, do our own thing.
I wanted to dig holes.
Yeah, dig holes, but we didn't want to...
See how deep you could go?
We didn't want our parents there. Like, that's not fun.
I once found a cat skull. I'm like, I'm an archaeologist.
And you were.
Yeah.
I think, what are some of the things that we... Like, I feel like a lot of my stuff was like, you know, the Stephen King, we're digging. It's like, is this a pistol? You know, it's like that kind of shit. Like some weird, an arrowhead, you know, like just weird old stuff. Yeah. Civil War weirdness and Native American, like, artifacts. Not a cat skull, though. It's pretty kind of cool.
Yeah.
Did you poke at it?
I picked it up. Of course.
You're like, yes.
This is mine.
Did you wear it? You're like Lord of the Flies.
Yes.
Put a cape on it.
Nobody can speak unless they wear this on their head.
You have this cat skull. Katie's got the cat skull again. None of us can say anything.
Loved it. I mean, there was a woods in the, behind our house. Some, I don't know, it was like town property or something. And there were vines and there were wild grapes that grew.
Really? It sounds like a children's literature.
Yeah. Where the wild grapes grew.
Did you guys?
By Katie Casimir.
Did you make wine or anything out of them?
No.
Okay. That's what we would have tried to do.
No, we threw the grapes at each other. Okay. We weren't sure if you could eat them or not, so we just threw them.
So no one ate them and got sick? That would have been our number one thing. We would have sent the weakest kid out there and be like, you eat it.
Yeah.
Herschel, you eat it. You're always getting sick.
We were taught not to eat anything that we saw in the woods.
But still, a grape?
Just don't put it in your mouth.
A grape? That's a tough
one. I know
one.
What I did. There were these bushes with red berries.
They look like little strawberries?
No, they look like little, beautiful, little, tiny, pencil erasers.
Mm-hmm.
They're like just that size, and they're really red.
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
And they said, don't eat them, because they're poison. Don't eat them, they're poison. It'll kill anything that will, whoever ingests it will die.
And, a bit over the top.
Yeah.
that.
I wanted to know if it was true, so I put it in a little piece of bread and gave it to a duck.
What are you, like Hannibal Lecter?
No, I didn't believe it. I didn't think it was going to do anything.
Wild fowl? Is
and
illegal.
It got sick.
Of course. Immediately?
And it took days for it to die, and I was out there every day so sad and giving it real bread without poison in it.
And it took it from you? It's like, this bitch tried to kill me. Like, don't take anything from her.
I was so young, and I felt so horrible. It wasn't like, I want to see it die. You know, I was just like, oh, my God, it's real. And I just was out there every day feeding it because it couldn't fight for its food with the other ducks.
Of course. And the other ducks were like, you're a fool.
Yeah, and I made sure it ate every day until it died. And my mother's like, she's so nice.
You should have broken its neck. So that's the difference between suburbs and country.
Oh, no.
I'd have been like, this animal's sick. This animal is on the table.
No.
That's sad. That.
Isn't that sad?
I remember.
Don't eat berries.
Don't eat red. Things that are red.
They got the four R's.
What's the four R's? Rehearse, record, rinse, and repeat.
To all that was 40th Street. Hashtag Clothline NYC.
I shot a bird once, like a little chickadee. We all did. We all had guns.
Yeah.
You know, we were running around all the
time. Oh, yeah. You are super rural.
Super rural. But also American. All right. So guns. So I remember I was like, all the boys were shooting like squirrels and stuff. And I was like, I don't want to shoot anything as big as a squirrel. I'm going to shoot like a chickadee. I shot a chickadee and that's probably why I'm a vegetarian. Like, it was horrifying. This thing was, at first, I was like, well, it's small, so what's the big deal, right? It's small, but then I realized...
So it deserves to die. Oh, my gosh.
Not that it deserves to die, but, like, it won't be as... It's not like I'm shooting a deer, which a lot of people do, or, like, a goose or something. That was my idea as a kid. Mm-hmm. Like, it's small, so I'll see how this goes. I felt terrible. I had to give the thing a burial. Like, it was a nightmare. I was like, my BB shooting days are over.
Yeah, right?
Some people can handle it.
No.
Some people cannot. No. So, and I was like, I guess I'm one of those people who could not. I once tried to go fishing with a friend of mine, an older female friend. She was a librarian. We were friends, and my mom would let me hang out with her. So we were going to go fishing.
Okay.
This is like our big thing. And I remember her husband being like, are you sure? Are you girls going to go fishing? We're like, we're going fishing.
That's right.
We're women. We're going fishing. We bought the worms. We opened up. We saw them. We felt so bad. We buried them in the yard. We separated them from each other, and we didn't bury them.
You had
like
little
tiny
graves?
No, we didn't kill them. They were alive. We put them in an area where there's some nice humus, some nice soil.
Oh, so they
and
could live.
So they could live, and then we went out and had a fish sandwich. We were like, this is, and exactly, her husband was like, it's not going to work for you guys. You guys are too sensitive. You care too much about these lives. And we're like, nah, man, we're going to do it. We couldn't even, we were literally, we're holding a hook in one hand and holding a worm in the other and just looking at them like, no, I can't do this. I can't do it. Mm-hmm. So that was it for me. So I guess it's kind of like your bird story.
Yeah, you know? Right. You can't do it.
Meanwhile, I'm sure we both knew kids who were like torturing animals who were just like, really?
Yeah, and they didn't even think twice about it.
Didn't even care. And now today, those very same people are probably in politics.
In the Republican Party.
In the Republican Party.
I'm telling you, this situation with the Republicans.
It's crazy town.
It's the idea that people think that this is either right or that this person is not going to come after you?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, what I find interesting about it, I have such a low opinion of society and politics. I'm generally not surprised. But even I am like, word? Like, really?
Yeah.
Like, is this actually happening? It's almost as if we're watching a parody of it.
Right.
There's not even any jokes to be written.
There isn't any.
Because it's sad, and in and of itself, it's just like so bizarre.
We're watching the Sound of Music happening.
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah.
Right now, I feel like Captain Von Trapp on stage.
We gotta go.
Singing Edelweiss.
Yes.
And weeping.
We gotta leave.
And
the party's over.
Yeah.
I'm learning Spanish. That's all I have to say.
I'm going up north. I'm gonna get a coat.
No. Okay, where's Katie going with all that backpacking stuff? Don't worry about it.
I know. People are like, yeah, good. Go leave. But it's like, no, you really have to. It's...
It is. It's like slowly, you know.
This is really happening.
Yeah.
This is really happening.
Well, even if it does, even if we don't have a crazy person in the White House, the fact that so many people were willing to put a crazy person in the White House is scary. But this is why I don't live where I'm from. Right. This is why I moved into New York City.
Did you see the video of the woman being pushed and shoved in the crowd at the Trump rally?
I'm not surprised. I didn't watch the video, but I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all. You need to stay away. Like, I would no more attend a Trump rally than I would attend a Klan rally.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, you know, what do you think is going to happen? Yeah. These people are insane.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I want Trump to come out with just a flute and start playing it. Do you know what I mean? And just let people gather behind
Aqualung.
Him.
Oh, okay. Oh, the other thing. Pipe Piper.
Yes. I'm waiting for him to come out with a flute and then stand by a cliff and just watch people just shove themselves off of it like lemmings and be like, this is the way it's going. At the same time, I believe that these people who are supporting him, they need to have their own little piece of the world that they can destroy and stay over there. Because they're not going to go away.
Right.
But I don't want them here.
I just don't understand why they don't understand that. It doesn't mean that he's on their side, because you're next. Whoever you are, you're next.
Yeah.
You're not excluded from what he wants to do.
I know. You know, people aren't smart. And I think that sometimes that kind of logic escapes people. They don't get it. They don't see the long-term repercussions
of it. Why are there so many of them?
Because America. With an apostrophe instead of an A. Because, I don't know. I mean, I grew up around people like that. I'm not surprised at all. You grew up in a very cosmopolitan environment.
No, it wasn't. Well, looking at it, no, it's not
much more cosmopolitan, though.
A little more.
You know? But I grew up in an area where I can totally see people thinking, like, yeah, this guy's going to work for us. I'm like, this guy hates you. First of all, he's a New Yorker. Are people leaving that out? Like, are people not getting that? He's
a New
Yorker.
It's very selective. Like, yeah. I think that I saw somebody wanting to vote for him because he's going to make people say Merry Christmas again.
Really?
And put prayer back in schools. What?
Did he say that?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Really?
And that's what they're concerned with.
That's what they're concerned mm-hmm. with. Okay, but I mean, you don't need a president to tell you that. I mean, first of all, you could say Merry Christmas.
Yeah. And nobody's stopping
you. No one's stopping you. You can pray in school to yourself quietly, or you can send your child to a religious school where there is a shitload of prayer all the time. Like, oh, we went to Catholic school. There's prayer up the wazoo all the time.
Yeah, you can't.
Our parents
swing a dead cat without.
Yeah, but our parents, for whatever reason, chose that for us.
Yeah.
You can do that too.
You can do that too.
You can do that too. I don't know what to say. I didn't hear him say it as part of his platform.
It's funny because they wanted prayer in the school, but you can pray at home. You can pray wherever you want. But do you want people then praying in the workplace?
Yeah, probably. But I mean, who's stopping anybody from praying?
Yeah.
It's just that nobody else wants to do it with you and nobody wants to hear it. It's like, you know, it's like no one's stopping me from thinking libertarian thoughts.
Yeah.
At any hour of the day, I'm free to think about, you know, the free market and how I like mm-hmm. it. Or I can think about, you know, the theories of Mises. Like, I can think about whatever I want, wherever I want. If I'm at work and I want to have a libertarian moment quietly, I can.
Yeah.
I don't need you to participate in it.
Right.
In order for me to think about the free market.
And you don't need to tap me on the shoulder going, Katie, guess what?
Can you stop thinking about, you know, socialized medicine for a second so I can have a libertarian moment? No, it doesn't affect me. I don't know. Maybe it's a thing that people feel like everybody has to be doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
And, well, I mean, it's, you know, religion and politics are about control. So maybe there's that aspect mm-hmm. of it. But frankly, I don't care if people, you can pray. It's very interesting because I go to some hairdressers that are Muslim. It's their workplace. They pray mm-hmm. in the workplace. They throw down a rug and they do their thing.
All right.
They don't care what I'm doing while they're doing it or what anybody else is doing. They're doing their thing
mm-hmm.
in their place of business.
Right.
Whatever. Is that okay with these people? Probably not. Like, if somebody wanted to be like, oh, yeah, I'm all for prayer in school. Here's my rug. Yeah. Where's Mecca?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or if a religious Jewish person would be like, it's time for me to pray and pull out the thing with the arm mm-hmm, and all that kind of stuff. Is that okay? Or is it just your prayer?
Just their prayer.
Because I want to see some Hindu shit. Like, I want to see the full pantheon.
The whole thing.
Like, just prayer palooza.
Yeah.
Everybody going for it if that's what you want. But that's not what they want. Who knows? But that's why people crowd into cities to get away from them. That's why everyone where I'm from has left where I'm from.
Yeah.
And moved to places like where we are now. Because the people don't want to be, you know, people don't want to be burdened by that stuff. But maybe in leaving all those people, now they're in a bubble.
Yeah, so it's just
an echo chamber of craziness. I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
It's like
that's what happens. You can't,
It's like the bubble we live in sometimes. Like sometimes I forget, you know, that the whole United States isn't like New York City because I spend so much time in New York City. And then when we do leave, we go to other cities. Right. And I forget about, like,
we're in a big city mm-hmm. somewhere. We're on a resort somewhere. We're not
out in wherever these Trump supporters are. I can't even locate a Trump supporter or someone who's willing to say it out loud. Greg said he talked to one. He talked him down.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did he?
It was a person of color. And he was like, oh, really? Did you hear about this part that he said? Do you think that would affect you or that wall business?
Like, oh, my God.
What side of that wall do you think you're going to be on?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like,
or are you going to be building it and then get kicked out? Or like what?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Anyway, so that's the craziness is in the air. Spring fever.
That's spring fever.
That's spring fever.
That's what's happening. It's because
that's
spring.
What's happening.
God. So more things about spring. You know what? What came up here was the May-December romance.
Ooh.
Because May's technically the spring.
Okay, and December is like the end of the year. Couldn't they make it like a May-September romance?
I know. Right?
Why does it have to be May-December?
I know. It's like such a finality to it.
January 1st to December 31st romance. That's what it is. So what do they say about the May-December?
So a May-December romance is...
By the way, we're not old enough to be on either.
On either side.
Yes. We're in February still.
Yeah.
We're in the twilight of February.
Yeah. Sometimes it happens that the person you fall in love with is many years older or younger than you.
Mm-hmm.
Although there's not an official age difference that defines the May-December romance.
I think it's like 20 years, isn't it? That's what I feel like. No, sorry.
I don't know.
You just said there's no official.
No, there's no official. Its definition is the relationship where the age difference is greater than what is socially the norm.
So,
whatever socially the norm is.
Now I'm thinking about in my dating, when I was dating, when I was 21, I dated a guy who was 33. That was the biggest age difference mm-hmm. I'd ever had in dating someone. Oh, no, I went on a date a couple of times mm-hmm. when I was 24 with a guy who was 40. Mm-hmm. But
that's not, it wasn't really, you're not falling in love.
No,
you didn't
no,
really
no.
have a relationship.
No, I didn't really have a relationship.
You just took a test drive.
I took a test drive.
I did too.
Not even around the corner. I just got in the car and I got right back out.
Yeah. I was 21 and I went out on a date with a man who was 40. And I was like, man, this guy's old.
That's the best part.
And I was just looking at him in the movie theater like, man.
He's looking at the movie thinking, man, this chick's young and hot. And you're looking at him like, oh, God. Anthony Hopkins. What were you watching? What was the movie?
Prince of Tides.
Oh, no. He took you to see Prince of Tides?
I know. He showed
up. 21?
He showed up an hour early, too. An hour
early.
You're
still getting ready.
I was still getting ready. I mean.
He should know better.
I had three roommates at the time because I was 21. And my roommates took turns coming into my room and would say, Katie.
Your grandpa was here.
Yeah. It was all age,
age jokes.
And going out there like, really, we feel so bad for you. But God, he is old.
But he was only 40 years old.
I know, but to us, we're all 21. No, it looks very different.
It does look different. And it depends on how youthful the dude is as well.
Yeah.
Like there are some 40-year-olds who are extremely youthful and look youthful. And then there are others that look like, you know, your parents.
Yeah. He didn't. But anyway, but it wasn't a love story. It was
That's why I was thinking 20 years. Because if I was 21 and dated someone who was 33, that didn't seem so weird.
Yeah.
But the 21 to 40, I was like, I don't know. He could have a kid my age.
So on the low end of the scale, it could be like a 10-year age gap. But when a 15-year age gap is reached, nearly everyone defines the relationship that way.
Oh, okay. So I gave a little more leeway.
Yeah.
Okay. It also depends on how old you are, too.
Yeah.
If you're, because I have some friends who say their mom or dad is 70 and they're either widowed or divorced and they're dating someone who's like 50 and the family's upset. I'm like, really? A young 50-year-old is going to steal your daddy? Like, come on.
Yeah.
You know?
So they're talking about the age gaps. And it says, now, is this romance right for you? So these are ways to figure out if this romance is
okay.
right for you. First of all, there's the health argument. The first argument that your mother will mention, you're going to be caring for him or her when you're still in your prime and your mama thinks that you deserve better.
Okay.
I mean, this of is... course we can argue that you could get hit by a car tomorrow and you should be happy in the meantime.
Yeah. Or what if, there are some, I'm taking a class in the morning and most of the women in the class are 70 years old. They are spry as hell.
Yeah.
They are definitely not. If they were dating a man who was 40, that good luck keeping up with that woman.
Yeah.
It depends on the person.
Really
there are
does,
some
yeah.
40-year-olds who we know who are just like falling apart already.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
You know, so.
Yeah. So, but also there is the idea that, I mean, like how old can you get before you die?
Yes. Like how old are you going to be?
Yeah. I mean, like there's a drop-off point. You're not going to be 150.
Yes. You're not. If you're 40 and you're dating someone who's 70, you're not going to be taking care of them that long.
Yeah, right?
Like, you still got time.
Okay. Then the second thing is the ick argument. This is one you'll hear from your friends. Your friends will say...
shriveled up old peen.
Yeah, and you say, but it's in the eye of the beholder. So, but when Katie Holmes talked about having Tom Cruise posters on her wall when she was 8.
Okay.
All right. Some say ick, and some say, who cares, he's still hot.
I mean...
And then some people say, ick, knowing Ashton Kutcher was 11 when Demi Moore had her first baby.
But he wasn't fucking her then. So
yeah,
what different? Like, what are you talking about?
But there's an ick, so this is what
so
some
I'm sorry,
people are
I had pictures of David Bowie, R.I.P., on my wall when I was, like, in boarding school. If I had the chance later on to make it happen, I'm not going to let that stop me. Who cares? So what? As long as we're both of age at that point when the relationship happens, it doesn't matter.
I remember my mom hating the fact that I had a David Lee Roth poster on my wall when I was 13.
With your tights?
Yeah. No, he's coming out of a pool. Like,
oh, my God. That's like basically a pinup. I say, Katie. I say.
He was on the wall. My mother would walk by and go, oh. Why? He's too old.
He's too old.
He's too old. He's like 30.
He's younger than her.
I know.
Well, she should be looking at it, too. She should be walking by slowly, like, that's a terrible poster I have to look at every time I come by. What a nightmare. I'm still here looking at it. And I'm upset. And just, what's wrong with that? I had a funny moment the other day. I get Outside Magazine, which I love. Yeah. And it's all like outdoorsmanship, mountain climbing, all that stuff. And there's frequently on the cover.
I thought I was thinking outside the box. Like, this is a new idea.
It's actually physical stuff.
Okay.
And frequently on the cover is a guy, you know, with no shirt on.
Nice.
Because that's the kind of magazine it is. It's about being fit and about being outdoorsy. Like, and it's not a sexy thing. It's just like, here, I'm an athlete kind of thing. So I'm on the subway reading this, and I'm noticing everyone is looking at me in this magazine because they can't see the name of the magazine. They just see a half-naked guy on the front. And then this 40-year-old black chick loving this magazine. Like, I'm reading the articles. I'm all into it. And then I looked at the cover. I was like, man. But then I thought, how often do women have to deal with a sexy woman on the cover of a magazine?
Yeah.
All the time. It doesn't bother me. But you know what I mean? All the time. I'm like, why aren't there more hot guys on magazines?
Yeah. That's what I wonder it too.
Heike magazine right there. Just pinups.
Yeah. And just you know what magazine.
Inside it'll just be regular stuff. But on the outside, a hot guy.
Yeah.
Shirtless.
For no reason.
For no reason. Maybe he's listening to a podcast.
Yeah, he's got his earbuds in.
Yeah.
And you can see the thing.
Like, we wouldn't be so crass as to put penis news on the front.
No.
But maybe he likes advice on advice.
Sure.
He wants to know. Anyway.
Yeah. The next thing is...
it's a tangential podcast.
This could be a problem. Is a social reference faux pas. So...
Huh?
So depending on your age...
Someone makes us, you know, when Cary Grant. Like, that kind of thing. Like...
No, for example, depending on your age, you may associate the name Elvis with Elvis Presley or Elvis Costello. Well, that's a bad example, but that's
Elvis as Elvis Costello. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I grew up listening to Elvis Costello. Yeah. You probably did too. But when I hear the term Elvis.
You say Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or the dog of one of the Jonas Brothers. Nobody knows
that. I don't know that. Yeah.
A slip up with the social reference factor is just part of the territory of these relationships. You need to brush up on your pop culture references, history.
Maybe. I mean, this happens in interracial relationships as well. Like, you know, when Greg said that we're listening to, like, The Outcast, I'm like, it's just Outcast.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Or, like, he'll say, so, like, when it comes to, like, rock music, like, I was singing what I thought was, I think it was Stone Temple Pilots. It turned out to be something else. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, I love that song. Like, even though it's, like, it's even flow.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, even though, you know, I'm just hitting it. Just really enjoying it. He's like, what the hell? So you have to know what the other person is into. And if you want to, you know, be conversant on that, brush up on it.
Yeah.
Right? It's not just an age thing. It's a person thing.
It's a person thing for sure. And you could be any age and still get it wrong. Like,
we're not that hip.
What was it? I was serving drinks and hors d'oeuvres at a party and there were celebrities there. And there was Paul Stanley from Kiss.
Okay.
Do you guys know who that is? Paul Stanley from Kiss.
There's someone else in Kiss.
Yeah. And my friend looked at him and started singing, "We're not gonna take it."
No.
Yeah.
He probably gets that all the time. But he just chime in, "No, we ain't gonna
take it," because that's Twisted Sister, not Kiss.
Dee Snider.
Yeah.
Awesome. I think that probably happens to people all the time. Yeah. People are like, "Live on a prayer." I'm like, no, not living on a prayer. Not living on a prayer at all. Welcome to the jungle.
Yeah, right.
A friend of mine just had a baby, and I was thinking, what could I get her? And I want to get her something from Tiffany's, and I want to get a rattle and have him scribe it says, "Welcome to the jungle."
Yeah,
like a silver rattle.
That's nice.
I think that's a great gift.
I think it's an awesome gift.
Then if things go south, she can melt it down and sell it.
Yeah. Perfect.
All right, what else do we have?
Then the other argument is, you will lose your friends.
There's
some merit to this, though. Along the way, you both lose some friends as a result of this relationship. If you're older, you will certainly find that some of his or her friends are too immature to be around.
Okay.
If you're younger, you're bound to find that some of his friends are too boring to be around.
Oh, come on. I've always found older people, and still, at my age, I still find people who are 10, 20 years older than me to be much more interesting than people my age. They know more stuff.
Yeah.
They've seen it, especially this generation. These people who were around in the 70s and the 60s, come on. They're not that conservative. You know what I mean? They're not conservative.
Yeah, nowadays. Yeah.
Like when we're 60 years old, people will be like, what did you do back in the 90s? I'm like, I don't know, dropped out of college a couple times, traveled. Like, it's not going to, you know, I'm not going to be like, I worked at IBM.
Yeah.
Right. For 40 years.
So if you're dating someone and there's that big age gap, then you're likely that you'll face all these challenges at some point in the relationship. So they don't tell you if it's right for you or not. This is the crux of the article.
Like, what? I wanted to know at the end, is it okay for me to keep dating, you know?
Yeah.
Sean
they don't
Connery.
Tell you.
Or no. In fact, it's always okay to date Sean Connery, even if he's 105.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Always date Sean Connery.
Always date Sean Connery.
No matter what.
No matter what. If you have the option, do it.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
I want to do one more.
Do one more. One more.
Well,
one
more. The people are asking for it. It's the best one on here. Okay. I send this one out to a friend of mine who's a mathematician. She knows who she is. Mm-hmm. A mathematician named Hall had a hexahedronical ball, and the cube of its weight times his pecker plus 8 is his phone number. So give him a call.
Oh, God. That's too much work.
I like it.
And what was the name of the person?
Hall.
Hall. Hall. H-A-L.
Hall. A mathematician named Hall.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you said H-A-W.
Oh, no,
and I was
no,
like,
no.
I call shenanigans on that name.
Yes. Hall. I guess it's in Professor Hall.
Okay.
So that's my ode to Irish dirty-ass limericks. Adult limericks.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, thank you very much. You know.
You're an artist.
I like to raise the level of the show every once in a while with some poetry.
Yeah.